Matos. Thank you very much for agreeing to share a few reflections on what's happened in the Commission and the Treaty over the last many years. And certainly watching from the sidelines, I've always been deeply impressed about how you've managed to hold the flag for Africa, to be able to make sure that the views of the African region are properly expressed. And sorry that you may not be in future Commission and Treaty meetings, but you have a very long and wise overview of what's been happening. Could you just give me a sense of how you see the voice of Africa, the African region, being recognised in these discussions, and what your hopes are for the future?
One thing I should say at the beginning, in terms of the voice of Africa, when we came into the negotiations on the treaty, because we had very, very few people who had any sound technical knowledge of human resources within the region. In the early sessions I attended, there were very few people, and very often the contributions that were made had very little to do with the real substance of the problem. However, we were greatly supported by in the SADC region by the Nordic countries. The Nordic countries, after we made proposals for the countries of the SADC region to come to the Commission and to defend the position of the needs of African countries, the Nordic countries, particularly Norway and Sweden, supported us to come to every single meeting of the Commission and every single meeting of the negotiation of the treaty. We were also supported by training by the same countries. We were also supported by training, postgraduate training and short course training. And this brought about what the growth of at least a small regional core of people who at least understood the issues. This gave us a voice for Southern Africa. We found that little by little then other countries in Africa came to the negotiations, came to the Commission, and little by little the number of country representatives and essentially the number of scientists with some capacity in this area increased. So if we look at the situation now, although there are still difficulties, we still have problems with continuity of representatives from the African region coming to the Commission. We do have at least a certain number of highly qualified people, and now people who have had some years of experience. So this is all to the good. However, having said that, in terms of the kind of support that the African countries are getting, in terms of support that African farmers, and since most of our farmers are small-scale farmers, this really has, I would say, hardly increased over the years. It's true there are grassroots organisations that have come up, in many areas, in many regions, but they are still, in general, I feel, very weak, and they are beginning to organise, but they are still not very strong in themselves, do not have a great deal of support, and principally, there is still not much support within the countries. It is a struggle for NGOs, for civil society, for small farmers, to get support for example, for on-farm conservation, for participatory breeding. These things are just only beginning. And this is one thing. Another thing is, which is important also for these institutions and for supporters of farmers, is that agriculture is low down on priority for many governments in Africa. It shouldn't be. African governments have agreed, I've forgotten how many years ago, but have agreed that 10% of national budgets should go to agriculture. And in that case, if this were done, and if some amount of that would also go to promoting the needs of small farmers, this would also be an extremely, extremely helpful. In fact, the situation we have now is that most countries, most African countries, their national budget for agriculture is under 5%, and for many countries, it's considerably under 5%. So this is a serious problem for us.
The small farmers that you speak of, the family farmers in Africa, whose dependence on a very wide range of agricultural biodiversity, a wide range of genetic resources through agriculture, they really are the custodians, the guardians of that. They're the developers of that resource. And can you just reflect on whether you think that the recognition of the importance of having that wider range of varieties is penetrating in policymakers' understanding, is getting anywhere to a better understanding of how a more ecologically based agriculture can be better supported by having a wider range of genetic resources through agriculture?
I really don't have the knowledge for all regions or all countries in Africa, but I do think there has been an awakening recent. Speaking now in SADC region, I think there has been I think there is more awareness of the value of biodiversity. There have been several years of biodiversity, several special days of biodiversity, including agrodiversity, in our countries. And I think recently, and most particularly on account of problems with climate change, that there is more interest in widening the defence of biodiversity. Recently, I think for many countries, certainly speaking for Angola, we have had situations where everybody feels the effects of global warming, but of climate change in the sense of increased temperature. But I think many of us have been surprised by exactly what the effects are. The effect is not only hotter, it is we have more rain than we expected, we have more rain and we have floods in areas that we expected to be drought areas. Even as far as our neighbour Namibia is concerned, huge flooding and flash floods and extensive rain in areas that were considered to be areas that would become drier in a very short time. We've had situations very serious for agriculture, where rainy season starts a month late and only lasts for a short time, or starts very much earlier. We have a season in our own country where we've had rainfall in 2 months where there was never any rainfall. And these kind of changes have a huge effect on agriculture. And so this has meant, you know, people are thinking, well, formerly we only grew millet in this area, and suddenly we're going to try cassava. And these kind of changes, some of the effects have been, we could say, beneficial to the farmers, but many of them have not, and certainly they all mean change in farming systems.
So clearly a recognition that the greater diversity in farming system, greater biodiversity, is very important. And for all its slow pace, the Commission keeps this space open internationally in the United Nations system, in the world, world's governance, if you like, of food and agriculture. The Commission has an important role and will continue to have it.
Oh, absolutely. The Commission, I think, does have an important role. There is, as but to my knowledge, there is no other body in the world which is dealing with the concern over genetic resources, over the problems of the erosion of agrodiversity, and the promotion of the utilization of biodiversity. There is no other commission, no other institution that does this. Absolutely.
Liz, thank you. I'm sure you may not necessarily miss it, but they will miss you. Thank you so much.